This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And yes, you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Okay, so first up, our guest is the lovely Paul Zara from the Australian Retailers Association. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us this morning. We did want to talk about the coming reopening of retail and what, from the Retailers Association point of view, you think is going to be the plan for how people are going to, how retailers are going to check vaccinations. You know, if you're a big retailer, it's one situation, but if you're a small independent store, what's the plan going forward, Paul?
Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Taz. Look, and hi, Fiona, and hi, Paul. Look, it's certainly not going to be seamless. So I'll say that up front, but it is our it's a small price to pay, I do believe, for freedom. And I think in both the biggest states, Victoria and New South Wales, there at least there's a reopening plan that gives a roadmap for retailers and business, but particularly also for consumers to know what to expect. But currently, of course, we can all download our vaccination certificate from the Medicare app. And in both states, they're working furiously for the technology for that vaccination certificate to read through to the COVID Safe app, which will then allow, in effect, people to go about their day. Whilst I don't think it's normal, it will be allow them to go into shop in what the government has determined to be non-essential. That's certainly the discretionary retail precinct. Now, if in large stores may choose to make that check at the front of the shop, in the smaller stores, of course, they'll be done by the salesperson at the behind the counter. So we're working very closely with both governments to make sure this is as seamless as possible. And, you know, it doesn't come without issues, of course. So we do expect that there's going to be an elevated level of customer aggression. But to be frank, most frontline workers have had to deal with that through the entire pandemic. In fact, you know, when mandatory masks were introduced, that caused all sorts of problems. And then mandatory QR codes was the same. And of course, social distancing and sanitizers and all the stuff that's come with this sort of, you know, COVID world is, you know, meant that our frontline teams have had to be really upskilled to be able to manage those situations. And just in saying that, of course, it's the minority of people, of course, that create problems.
Of course it is, Paul. Of course it is. Yeah. But, Paul, I have been thinking about this. I mean, I you know, being in the city, I used to love going to David Jones men's department store, for example. Mm. And, look, that's an easy one because you've got only two entrance points, one at the front and one at the back. And so that's easy to manage, and it's a big enough store where you do have security on site and all that sort of thing. But what about the sort of, you know, mum and pa type store where there might be one or two, often quite junior and quite young and often quite inexperienced retail assistants? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it might be a jean store, it might be a clothes store, it might be a hairdresser's or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yep.
And here they are having to confront, you know, big burly blokes who are not prepared to. I mean, that, to me, it feels a little bit unfair, don't you think?
Well, look, yeah, no, I understand, and it's sort of, it's one of those things with, it's certainly complex, and it's not easy to solve for, but in saying that, of course, what's the alternative? Do we hold everybody in lockdown until we get to the 80%?
Oh, I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm just concerned about the pressure that this would put on, you know, small business operators.
Yes. Well, it's interesting because I do think it goes across the board, and you know, and we have had to deal with this, and we've had instances in large stores and small stores where there's been customer aggression to deal with. I think there's a famous social media post with a lady by the name of Karen in Bunnings that really demonstrates it can happen at any location. And, you know, we've been, as the ARA have actually, we're a registered training organisation, and we developed fortunately, an accredited module around dealing with customer aggression. And it's a skill set that the frontline team will need regardless of this change, because we've had to deal with this right through the pandemic. Now, I keep saying the majority of people do the right thing, but you just need one instance. Mm-hmm. In a large store, of course, there's security we'll be able to draw upon quite quickly and easily, law enforcers. In a smaller store, we're obviously gearing those people up to manage, but we don't want anyone to be in any danger, of course, so you would never put anyone's life at risk. And we obviously haven't seen that yet, but we certainly wouldn't want to put anyone at risk.
Paul, what kind of consultation has been going on with the Victorian state and the federal government for how to support retail going forward?
Well, the consultation happens at the state level because, of course, the big issue we've got as a national organisation, but equally dealing with many national retailers, is that each jurisdiction is making their own decisions. So that's a bit clunky because, you know, you've got to be across every regulation, across every state and territory. I mean, if you take the ACT right now, they're not even allowing click and collect, which is contactless, and I think it's pretty ridiculous. But that's the decision the ACT have made. So, you know, it's one of those things we're in deep conversation with each jurisdiction to be across the changes that they make to make sure we open in what we're saying is a very managed reopening, but also a safe reopening. And that's the really important piece.
Paul, good morning. It's Paul here. On that point, Paul, do you think that the state governments actually understand the time it takes, not only for retail, but perhaps also for restaurants, to actually get themselves in a state of preparedness to open? Because there's an awful lot of staff that have been stood down. There's a lot of stock that needs to be put in the right place throughout the supply chains. Or if you've got food service areas, you need to actually get in that short life stuff. Do they understand that they just can't sit on a press conference in the morning and say, we're going to open at midnight tonight? And there are ramifications of that timeline?
Well, it's a really good question, Paul. So this has been really frustrating. It's meant that, you know, take an industry body like the Australian Retailers Association. We've had to work 7 days a week just to keep on top of. Most announcements happen on the weekend and then with little notice. And we can't always preempt what is going to be announced at that presser. We've always said to all jurisdictions that we need at least 2 weeks, you know, particularly in food where you need to order from fresh produce. In some cases where staff are stood down, you may have lost those staff. So many restaurant situations have had to retrain staff in advance or recruit staff, and that needs more than 2 weeks to do that. So it's been exceptionally frustrating, I might say. And partly the work that we do is often educating government around the business requirements to get to that sort of managed recovery. And, you know, it's an ongoing plan. I think the only positive thing I can say right now is at least we do have a plan in Victoria. We may not agree with it, but you know, we're looking at a 5th of November opening.
No, that's exactly right, Paul. And I've heard a number of restaurateurs actually say that. At least we've got something to look forward to. And, Paul, look, I think you're quite right about what you're saying. There is a lot of concern out there. I recall having gone to a restaurant in between one of the series of lockdowns that we had earlier this year. It might have been between 4 and 5 or 3 and 4. I don't recall now. But I remember going to a restaurant, and it was actually not a cheap restaurant, but it was really rusty. You know, the service was rusty and the food wasn't in QR. And, you know, and in the end, what we discovered was that there'd been an exodus of staff. Mm-hmm. They had to then quickly rebuild their workforce, mm-hmm. quickly try to train people up, didn't quite have enough time to get all those processes back in place again. So you're right. Yeah. I mean, people do need time to actually prepare properly for this. So at least with this new Victorian government roadmap, we do have some time frames and we can work towards that, provided everything goes right and everybody gets vaccinated on time.
Right. Well, you know, I saw there's been so many wonderful memes, and there was a meme of the roadmap, which was the Snakes and Ladders board game. If anyone remembers that,
Paul, in your assessment, what's been the overall impact on the retail sector? What do you think?
Oh, look, Taz, the industry has been absolutely decimated. I think We came out of last year really, really in a fit position generally, because of course there was JobKeeper, JobSeeker, lots of support, and that not only that was supporting business and individuals alike, but of course it created a high level of stimulus, and people were spending their money. And this is the thing I've learnt: people on Social Security or on minimum wage, they spend the money that they're given, and that's good for the industry and good for the economy. All around, we didn't see that in the last 6 months. And I think the Melbourne, particularly with lockdown number six, we've seen small business absolutely decimated. You know, anecdotally, we think about 25% or one in four hairdressers just won't be able to reopen. Mm. Because it just couldn't pay the rent. There was less support this time around. Whilst we ended up with a patchwork quilt of support, not everybody has been able to access it, and not everybody also had the mental health to continue. So that's the other big issue, of course, is it wasn't just financial. So it is really important, you know, and even with the customer aggression piece, my message has been really around treating frontline staff with respect. They are, you know, in fact, you know, many cases, particularly right through the pandemic, they've had a huge responsibility to get food to the table for people. So particularly in supermarkets who have been absolutely swamped with, you know, because there have been any real stores that have been open through this place. And, you know, many staff have had to cop abuse. But we ask that you treat frontline staff with respect and realise that when we reopen and take the restaurant example, Taz, that you just used, that's what we may expect to see.
Yes.
The other issue, of course, that the whole industry is managed by most of it international workers, which we are bereft of whilst the borders are down. So we're really relying heavily on local employment to fill those jobs.
Paul, we are out of time, and it sounds like you were beginning to leave us on a positive message, but give us a final sort of upbeat message for the morning.
Well, look, I think it's been the winter of discontent, and we've got Christmas all to look forward to. And I think Christmas is really a time, it's a magical time, a time to be with family. You may not be able to travel interstate, but you'd be around, surround yourself by family and friends. And just think of the impact that the local shops have on the community. And you know, be out there and be safe. But equally, it's important that people go about shopping and get back to normal as quickly as possible.
I did like your message about being respectful, and I'm going to add to that, be kind as well, Fiona.
Paul, we've had lots of very interesting feedback from our listeners who are tuning in, which is great this morning. One of our listeners has said you're a great leader for the retail industry and you should be proud of the work that you've been doing during COVID and beyond.
And that's from Steve.
That's from Steve.
Paul, thank you very much, Steve, for your time this morning. Keep up the great work, and we look forward to speaking with you again on air very soon.
Wonderful.
Paul, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Paul.
You too.
And thank you. And thank you also to all the lovely messages, and especially, I have to say, the lovely cupcakes that arrived from Mel Smith. They're virtual, but they are absolutely scrumptious, and I'd love to just eat one.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.